I touch her lips. Don't pout. She's a lot like you, only more annoying.
Excuse me?
She hiccups.
That wasn't very nice of you to make me jealous of her.
It worked, didn't it? I reply smugly as we reach the door. Lillian is seated alone on the couch when we enter the house. I take a moment to pull the front of Tessa's dress up a little. She rolls her eyes at me. Seeing us, Lillian stands to her feet.
How was it? It was so much fun. The band was great.
Tessa beams. She's wasted, I inform Lillian. She laughs.
I can see that.
After a pause, she says,
Smith is asleep. He almost had a conversation with me tonight.
Good for you, I say, and lead Tessa toward the hall. My drunk girlfriend waves at Lillian.
It was nice seeing you.
I don't know if I should tell Lillian to leave now or wait until Vance shows up, so I don't say anything. Besides, let her deal with that little robot kid if he wakes up. When we get to Tessa's room, I close the door behind us, and she immediately plops onto the bed.
Can you take this off?
She points to her dress.
It's so itchy.
Yeah, stand up. I help her out of her dress, and she thanks me with a kiss on the tip of my nose. It's a simple gesture, but it catches me off guard, and I smile at her.
I'm so glad you're here with me,
she says. Are you? She nods and undoes the remainder of the buttons left on Christian's shirt. Her hands push the garment down my arms, and she folds it neatly before walking to the hamper. I'll never understand why she folds dirty clothes, but I'm used to it by now.
Yes, very. Seattle isn't as great as I thought,
she finally admits. Then come back with me, I want to say. Why not? I say instead.
I don't know. It's just not.
She frowns, and I'm surprised that instead of wanting to hear how miserable she is here, I want to change the subject. Landon and I both suspected she felt this way. But still, it makes me feel bad that it's not exactly what she'd wanted. I should take her out tomorrow during the day to cheer her up. You could move to England, I say. She glares at me with red cheeks and champagne-glazed eyes.
You won't take me there for a wedding, but you want me to move there, she says, calling me out.
We'll talk about it later, I say, hoping she'll drop it right now.
Yeah, always later.
She walks back to sit on the bed, but misses completely. Her body rolls onto the floor, and she bursts into a fit of laughter. Christ, Tessa! I grab hold of her hand and help her to her feet, my heart pounding in my chest.
I'm fine.
She laughs and sits down on the bed, pulling me with her. I gave you too much champagne.
Yep, you did.
She smiles and pushes my shoulders back until I'm flat on the mattress. Are you okay? Do you feel sick? She rests her head against my chest.
Stop parenting me. I'm fine.
I bite my tongue instead of mouthing off to her.
What do you want to do?
She asks quietly. What?
I'm bored.
She looks up at me with that look. Tessa lifts herself up and stares down at me, eyes wild. What would you like to do, drunk ass?
Pull your hair?
She grins and pulls her bottom lip between her teeth in the most sinful way. Chapter 117. Harden.
Can't sleep?
Christian turns on the overhead light and joins me in the kitchen.
Tessa needed some water,
I tell him. I push the refrigerator door closed, but he stops it with his hand.
Kim, too. The price of drinking too much champagne, he says from behind me.
Tessa's endless giggles and insatiable appetite for pleasure have worn me out. I'm convinced she'll be vomiting soon if she doesn't drink some water. Visions of her tonight, lying back on the bed, her legs spread for me as I brought her to orgasm using both my fingers and my tongue, flash through my mind. She was amazing, as she always was when she rode my cock until I emptied myself into a condom. Yeah, Tessa's a mess. I bite back a smile while remembering her tumble off the bed.
So, England next weekend, then?
He changes the subject.
Nah, I'm not going.
This is your mum's wedding we're talking about.
And it's not her first, probably won't be the last, I say.
To say I'm completely shocked when his hand reaches out and knocks the bottled water from my hand would be an understatement.
What the fuck?
I exclaim, and bend down to grab the bottle. When I stand back up, Vance's eyes are focused on me, and the look in them is intense.
You have no right to speak of your mum that way.
What does it matter to you?
I don't want to go, and I'm not going to.
Give me a reason. A real one. He challenges me.
What the fuck is his problem?
I don't need to give anyone a reason. I just don't want to go to a stupid wedding. I've already been dragged to one this season, and that was enough for me.
Fine. I've already sent in for Tessa's passport, so I assume you'll be fine without her while she enjoys visiting England for the first time as Kim's companion.
I drop the bottle to the floor. It can stay there this time.
You what?
I stare at him. He's fucking with me. He has to be. He leans against the island and crosses his arms.
I sent in her application and paid for it the moment I found out about the wedding. She'll have to go downtown to finalize it and get her picture taken, but I've done the rest.
I'm fuming. I can feel myself heating up.
Why would you even do that? That's not even legal.
Like I give a fuck if it's legal.
Because I knew you'd be a stubborn asshole about the entire thing. And I also knew that she was the only shot I had to get you to go.
This is important to your mom, and she's been worried that you won't go.
She's right to be worried. You two think you can use Tessa to bully me into going to fucking England? Fuck both you and my mum.
I open his refrigerator to grab another bottle of water, just to be a dick. But he kicks it closed with his foot.
Look, I know you've had a shit life, okay?
So did I, so I get it. But you won't be talking to me the way you talk to your parents.
Then stop trying to meddle in my goddamned life the way they do.
I'm not meddling. You know damn well that Tessa would love to go to that wedding. And you also know that you'll feel like an asshole if you deprive her of the opportunity for your own selfish reasons. You may as well get over being mad at me, and thank me for making your week much easier. I stare at him for a few moments to take in what he is saying. He's half right. I've already started to feel bad for not wanting to go to the wedding, the only reason being that I know how much Tessa would love to go. She's already pouted about it enough tonight, and it's been wearing on my mind.
I'll take your silence as a thank you,
Vance smirks, and I roll my eyes.
I don't want this to become a thing.
What? The wedding?
Yeah. How can I take her to another wedding and watch her eyes get all dough-like and watery, only to have to remind her that she won't ever have that?
Christian's fingers tap against his chin.
Ah, I see.
His smile grows.
That's what this is about, then. You don't want her getting any ideas?
No, she already has the ideas. The woman's mind is full of ideas. That's the problem.
Why would it be a problem? You don't want her to make an honest man out of you?
Though he's taunting me, I'm glad to see that he isn't holding a grudge against me for my rude remarks only minutes ago. This is why I sort of like Vance. He's not as touchy as my father.
Because it's not going to happen, and she's one of those crazy women who bring the shit up like a month after dating. She literally broke up with me because I said I wouldn't marry her.
She's batshit crazy sometimes.
Vance chuckles and takes a sip of the water meant for his Kimberly. Tessa is waiting on me to bring her water too. I need to tie this conversation up. It's already been too long, too personal for my liking.
Consider yourself lucky that she wants that with you. You aren't exactly the easiest guy to be around, and if anyone knows that, it's her.
I begin to ask him what the fuck he even knows about my relationship, but then I quickly remember that he's engaged to the biggest mouth in Seattle. Scratch that, the entire state of Washington. Perhaps even the entire United States of...
Am I right?
He interrupts my thoughts about his obnoxious woman. Yes, but still, it's ridiculous to think about marriage at all, especially when she's not even 20.
This is coming from the man who doesn't want her more than 3 feet away from him at any given time?
Asshole, I gripe.
It's true.
Doesn't mean you're not an asshole.
Perhaps.
I do find it amusing, though, that you don't intend on marrying her, but you can't seem to control your temper or anxiety when it comes to losing her. What's that supposed to mean?
I don't think I want to know the answer to this question, but it's too late now.
Vance's eyes meet mine. Your anxiety, it's at its highest when you're worried about her leaving you, or when another man pays any attention to her.
Who says I have anxiety?
But the stubborn goat ignores me and continues on.
You know what helps a hell of a lot when it comes to both of those things?
What's that?
A ring.
He holds up his hand and touches the bare finger where a wedding band will soon rest.
Oh my fuck! She's gotten to you too! What does she do? Pay you off?
I laugh at the idea. It's not exactly too far-fetched, considering Tessa's obsession with marriage and her charm.
No, you twat.
He throws the cap of the water bottle at me.
It's the truth. Now it's only words, an empty boast to other men who will want her, and trust me, they will. But when Tessa's your wife, it's real.
That's when it's fucking real.
And it couldn't be more satisfying, especially for overly paranoid men like you and me.
My mouth is dry by the end of his speech, and I want to hightail it out of this excessively bright kitchen.
That's a load of shit.
The words rush from my mouth. He walks over and opens a cabinet while talking.
Have you ever watched that show, Sex in the City?
No.
Sex in the City, Sex and the City, I don't remember.
No, no, and no, I respond.
Kim watches it all the time. She has every season on DVD.
Christian tears open a box of cookies. It's 2 in the morning. Tessa is waiting for me, and here I am talking about some shit show.
Okay. There's this episode where the women are talking about how you only get 2 great loves in your life.
Okay, okay. This is getting too fucking weird, I say, turning to go.
Tessa is waiting for me.
I know. I know. Let me finish really quick. I'll sum it up for you in the most masculine way possible.
I turn back to find him looking at me expectantly, so I nod hesitantly.
So, they were saying that you only get 2 great loves in your entire life.
My point is... Well... I have sort of lost my point, but I know that Tessa's your great love.
I'm lost.
You said we get 2.
Well, for you, the other is your own self, he snorts. I thought that was obvious.
I raise a brow.
And yours were who? Big Mouth and Smith's mum?
Watch it, he warns.
Sorry, Kimberly and Rose. I roll my eyes again.
They were yours.
You better hope those broads on that show were wrong.
Yes. Those 2 were mine.
He stutters. An emotion flashes across his face, but it disappears before I can really nail down what it was. Tipping the water bottle to him, I say, Well, now that you've made no point whatsoever, I'm going to bed. Yeah, he says, slightly flustered. I don't even know what I'm going on about. I drank too much tonight. Yeah. Okay. I leave him alone in the kitchen. I don't know what the hell that was all about, but it was odd seeing the one and only Christian Vance at a loss for words. By the time I get back to the room, Tessa is asleep on her side. Her hands are resting under her cheek, and her knees are tucked up against her body. I flick the light off and set her water bottle on the nightstand before climbing into bed behind her. Her naked body is warm to the touch, and I can't help but shiver as the tracing of my fingertips causes small goosebumps to rise on her skin. They comfort me, reminding me that my touch, even in her sleep, awakens something in her.
Hey,
she whispers sleepily. I jump slightly at her voice and nuzzle my head in her neck, pulling her closer to me.
We're going to England next weekend,
I tell her. She quickly turns her head to look behind her. The room is pretty dark, but there's enough moonlight for me to see the shock on her face.
What?
England. Next weekend, you and me.
But...
No, you're going. And I know you want to go, so don't try to argue about it.
You don't have...
Teresa,
let it go.
I press my hand over her mouth, and she uses her teeth to softly nip at the skin of my palm. Are you going to be a good girl and keep quiet if I move my hand? I tease her, thinking back to her earlier accusation that I was parenting her. She nods her head, and I let her go. She lifts herself up onto her elbow and turns to face me. I can't possibly hold a conversation with her when she's naked and feisty.
But I don't have a passport,
she cries out, and I hide my smile. I knew she wasn't done. It's already in the works. We'll figure the rest out tomorrow.
But...
Teresa...
Two times in 1 minute. Uh-oh,
she grins. You're never drinking champagne again. I push her messy hair away from her eyes and trace the shape of her bottom lip with my thumb.
You certainly weren't complaining earlier when I was...
I silence her drunken mouth by pressing my lips against hers. I love her so much. So fucking much that it frightens me to think about losing her. Do I really want to mix her? My potential future, the only shot I have at a decent one, with my wicked past.
Chapter 118. Tessa. When I wake up, Harden isn't draped over me, and the room is too bright even when I close my eyes again. Keeping them closed, I groan, "What time is it?" My head is throbbing, and even though I know I'm lying down, my body feels like it's swaying back and forth.
Noon,
Harden's deep voice says from across the room. Noon? I missed my first two classes. I try to sit up, but my head spins. I fall back onto the mattress with a whimper.
You're fine. Go back to sleep.
No, I can't miss any more classes, Harden. I just started classes at this campus, and I can't begin this way. I begin to panic. I'm going to be so behind.
I'm sure you'll be fine,
Harden says with a shrug, crossing the room to sit on the bed.
You probably already have the assignments completed anyway.
He knows me too well. That's not the point. The point is that I missed the lecture, and it makes me look bad.
To whom?
Harden asks. I know he is mocking me. To my professors, my classmates...
Tessa, I love you, but come on. Your classmates couldn't give less of a fuck if you're there or not. They probably didn't even notice. Your professors, yeah, because you're a suck-up and they like the ego boosts your fawning gives them. But your classmates don't care. And if they do, then so what? Their opinion doesn't fucking matter.
I guess. I close my eyes and try to see his point. I hate being late, missing classes, sleeping until noon. I'm not a suck-up, I add.
How are you feeling?
I feel the mattress shift, and when I open my eyes, he's lying next to me. Like I had too much to drink last night, my skull is ready to explode.
You certainly did.
He nods several times, very seriously.
How's your ass feeling?
His hand grips my behind and I wince. We didn't... I wasn't that intoxicated, was I?
No,
he chuckles, kneading the skin with his hand. His eyes meet mine.
Not yet.
I gulp.
Only if you want to. You've turned into a fucking vixen, so I assumed that would be next on your list.
Me? A vixen?
Don't look so frightened. It was only a suggestion.
He smiles at me. I can't decide how I feel about doing that, and I certainly can't keep up or process this type of conversation right now. But my curiosity gets the best of me. Have you? I don't know how to ask the question. This is one of the few things we've never discussed. Him saying dirty things about doing it to me in the heat of the moment doesn't count. Have you done that before? I search his face for the answer.
No, actually, I haven't.
Oh. I'm too aware of his fingers tapping along the bare skin where the line of my panties would be, were I wearing any. The fact that Harden has never experienced that before makes me want to do it, sort of.
What are you thinking? I see those wheels turning.
He nudges my nose with his, and I smile under his stare. I like that you haven't done... it before.
Why?
His brow raises, and I hide my face. I don't know. I'm suddenly shy. I don't want to sound insecure or start a fight. I already have a hangover.
Tell me.
He demands softly. I don't know. It would just be nice to be your first for something. He lifts himself up on his elbow and looks down at me.
What do you mean?
I just mean that you've done a lot of stuff. You know, sexually, I quietly explain. And I haven't given you any new experiences. He eyes me carefully as if he's afraid to reply.
That's not true.
It is, though. I'm pouting again.
Like hell it is. That's bullshit, and you know it.
His voice is practically a growl, and he's scowling deeply. Don't snap at me. How do you think I feel that you haven't been with only me? I say. The reminder doesn't come as often as it once did, but when it does, it stings terribly. He winces and gently tugs at both of my arms to pull me to sit up next to him.
Come here.
I feel myself being lifted onto his lap. His half-naked body is warm and welcoming underneath my completely bare skin.
I didn't think of it that way,
he says into my shoulder, making me shudder.
If you had been with anyone else, I wouldn't be with you now.
My head snaps back to look at him. Excuse me?
You heard me.
He kisses the curve of my shoulder. That's not a very nice thing to say. I'm used to Harden's unfiltered mouth, but these words surprise me. He can't mean them.
I never claimed to be nice.
I shift my body on his lap and ignore the groan deep in his throat. You're being serious?
Very.
He nods. So you're telling me that if I hadn't been a virgin, you wouldn't have dated me? This topic isn't one we typically discuss, and I'm nervous to find out where it will lead. His eyes narrow as he regards my expression before muttering,
That's exactly what I'm saying. If you recall, I didn't really want to date you anyway.
He grins, but I scowl. I press my feet to the floor to lift myself off of his lap, but he holds me in place.
Don't pout,
he coaxes, and attempts to press his lips against mine, but I quickly turn my head. I glare at him. Maybe you shouldn't have dated me then. I feel overly sensitive and my feelings are hurt. I add gasoline to the fire and wait for the explosion. Maybe you should have just ended it after you won the bet. I stare into his green eyes, waiting for a reaction. Still, it doesn't come. He throws his head back in laughter, and my favorite sound fills the room.
Don't be such a baby.
Harden says, and hugs me tighter, taking both of my wrists in one hand to prevent me from wiggling off his lap.
Just because I didn't want to date you in the beginning doesn't mean that I'm not glad I am.
It's still not nice to say, and you said you wouldn't be with me now if I'd been with someone else. So if I had slept with Noah before I met you, you wouldn't have dated me? He flinches at the words.
No, I wouldn't have. We wouldn't have been in that situation if you weren't a virgin.
He's treading lightly now. Good. Situation, I repeat, still irritated. It comes out harsher than I intended.
Yes, situation.
He abruptly turns me around and lays me back against the mattress. He moves his body on top of mine and pins my wrists up over my head using only one hand and his knees to push open my thighs.
I wouldn't be able to stand it if you'd been touched by another man. I know it's fucking crazy, but that's the damn truth, whether you want to hear it or not.
His breath is warm against my face, coming out in hot puffs. Momentarily, I forget why I'm annoyed with him. He's being honest, I'll give him that, but it's an obnoxious double standard that he's describing. Whatever.
Whatever?
He chuckles, tightening his hand around my wrists. He flexes his hips, pressing his boxer-clad body between my thighs.
Stop being ridiculous. You know how I am.
I feel so exposed right now, and his dominating behavior is turning me on more than it should. He continues.
And you know you've given me new experiences. I've never loved anyone, romantically or even family, really.
His eyes drift off to ponder what I guess is a painful memory, but then he quickly returns to me.
And I've never lived with anyone. I never gave a fuck about losing anyone before, but when it comes to you, I wouldn't survive it. That's a new experience.
His lips ghost over mine.
Is that enough new experience for you?
I nod and he smiles. If I lift my head up just a centimeter, my lips will touch his. He seems to read my thoughts and pulls his head back a bit.
And don't throw that batshit in my face again,
he threatens, rubbing himself against me. A treacherous moan escapes his mouth and his eyes darken.
Got it?
Sure. I defiantly roll my eyes at him, and he frees my wrists, running his hand down my body, stopping on my hip and squeezing gently.
You're being a brat today.
He draws circles on my hip, putting more weight on my body. I feel like a brat today. I'm hungover and hormonal. You're being an ass, so I guess we're even, I fire back. He bites the inside of his cheek, then dips his head down to me. Harden's lips are warm as he kisses me along my jawline, sending a direct line of electricity to my groin. I wrap my legs around his waist and close the small space that's left between our bodies.
I've only loved you,
he reminds me again, soothing the small ache from his earlier words. His lips reach the base of my neck, and one of his hands cups my breast while he uses the other to hold his body up.
I'll always only love you.
I don't speak. I don't want to ruin this moment. I love when he's candid about his feelings for me, and for once I can see this all in a new light. Steph, Molly, and half of the dang campus of WCU may have fooled around with Harden, but none of them, not one single girl, has ever gotten to hear him say, I love you. They haven't had, and will never have, the privilege of knowing him, the real him, the way that I do. They have no idea how wonderful and incredibly brilliant he is. They don't get to hear him laugh and watch his eyes screw shut and his dimples pop. They'll never get to hear the snippets of his life or hear the conviction in his voice when he swears that he loves me more than breathing. And for that, I pity them. I've only loved you, I tell him in return. The love I had for Noah wasn't anything beyond family. I know that now. I love Harden in that all-consuming, incredible way that I know deep down I will never feel again. I feel Harden's hand move to his boxers. He tugs them down, and I use my feet to help him get rid of them. In a gentle motion, he slides into me, crying out as he plunges through the slick opening.
Again,
he begs. I've only loved you, I repeat.
Fucking Christ, Tess. I love you so much.
The words are a raw confession as they push through his gritted teeth. I will always only love you, I promise him. I send a silent prayer that we'll find a way to work through all of our problems, because I know what I just said is true. It will always be him, even if something drove us apart. Harden's thrusts are deep, filling and claiming me as he bites and sucks at the skin on my neck with his warm, wet mouth.
I can feel you. Every single inch. You're so fucking warm.
He groans, making it known that he hasn't put a condom on. Even through the euphoric trance, warning bells go off in my head. I blink the sensation away and revel in the feeling of Harden's strong muscles straining under my hands as I run my hands over his broad shoulders and inked arms. You have to put one on, I say, though my actions are the opposite of my words. I tighten my legs around his waist, drawing him deeper. My stomach begins to coil, tightening.
I can't stop.
His pace quickens, and I think I'll snap in two if he stops now. Don't, then. We're both insane, not thinking clearly, but I can't stop raking my nails down his back, encouraging him.
Fuck. Come, Tessa,
he instructs me, as if I have a choice. As I reach the brink of orgasm, I'm afraid I may pass out from the amount of pleasure I feel when his teeth graze across my chest, tugging, marking me there. With another groan of my name and a declaration of his love for me, Harden halts his movements, and he pulls himself out of me, releasing himself onto the bare skin of my stomach. I watch in awe as he touches himself, marking me in the most possessive way while never breaking eye contact. He collapses onto me, shaking and out of breath. We lie in silence, neither of us needing to speak to know what the other is thinking. Where do you want to go? I ask him. I don't even want to leave the bed, but Harden offering to take me out in Seattle during the day is something that hasn't happened in the past, and I'm not sure if or when it will happen again.
I don't give a shit, really. Maybe, like, shopping?
His eyes roam my face.
Do you need to go shopping? Or want to?
I don't really need anything, I answer. When I look up and see how nervous he looks lying there next to me, I backtrack. Yeah, sure. Shopping is fine. He's making such an effort. Simple things that couples usually do are completely out of Harden's comfort zone. I smile at him, remembering the night he took me ice skating to prove that he could, in fact, be a regular boyfriend. It was so much fun, and he was so charming and playful, much like he's been the past week and a half. I don't want a regular boyfriend. I want Harden, with his crude humor and sour attitude, to take me on simple dates every once in a while and make me feel secure enough in our relationship that the downs will be washed away by the ups.
Cool.
He shifts uncomfortably. I just need to brush my teeth and tie my hair back.
And maybe get dressed?
He cups the overly sensitive area between my thighs. Harden has already used one of his shirts to wipe me clean, something he used to do all the time. Right. Maybe I should rinse off in the shower, I gulp, wondering if Harden and I will go another round before we leave. Frankly, I don't know if either of us could handle it. I stand up from the bed and wince. I knew I was going to be starting my period any day now. Why did it have to come right now, of all days? I suppose it works in my favor, though, since it'll be gone by the time we leave for England. Leave for England? It doesn't seem real.
What?
Harden says with a questioning look. It's that time. I look away from him, knowing that he's had an entire month to store up his jokes.
And what time is that?
He smirks, looking at his bare wrist as if there's a watch there. Don't, I whine, pressing my thighs together so I can hurry and put on enough clothes to make it to the bathroom.
Would you look at that? A hangover and a bloody attitude.
He taunts. Your jokes are terrible. I pull his t-shirt over my head and catch the languid smile he shoots at me as he takes in the sight of me wearing his shirt again.
Terrible, huh?
His green eyes dance with amusement.
Maybe so terrible that you want to pull the plug on them?
I hurry and exit the room while he's still laughing to himself.
Chapter 119. Harden.
I didn't even know you two were here. I thought Tessa had classes today.
Kimberly says to me when I enter the kitchen, why is she even here? She wasn't feeling well, I reply. Aren't you supposed to be at work? Or is staying home another perk of fucking your boss?
Actually, I don't feel well either, you ass.
She tosses a wadded up piece of paper at me, but misses. You and Tessa should really learn how to hold your champagne, I tell her. She flips me off. The microwave sounds, and she pulls out a plastic bowl filled with something that looks and smells like cat food, then sits down at the countertop. She inhales forkful after forkful. I lift my fingers to safeguard my nose.
That smells like pure shit, I remark.
Where's Tessa? She'll shut you up.
Wouldn't count on it, I grin. I have sort of come to like taunting Vance's fiancée. She has a thick skin, and she's obnoxious enough that I'm provided with plenty of ammunition.
Wouldn't count on what?
Tessa joins us in the kitchen, dressed in a sweatshirt, tight jeans, and those slipper things she swears are shoes. Really, they're nothing but overpriced cloth wrapped around a piece of cardboard, using the pretense of charity to rip off stupid consumers. She disagrees, of course, so I've learned to keep this opinion to myself. Nothing. I dig my hands into my pockets to fight the urge to nudge Kimberly's smug ass off the stool.
He's mouthing off. Nothing new.
Kim takes another bite of her cat food. Let's go. She's annoying, I say, just loud enough for Kim to hear.
Be nice,
Tessa scolds me. I take her hand in mine and lead her out of the house. When we get into the car, Tessa shoves a handful of plugs into my glove compartment. An idea strikes me. You need to get on birth control, I tell her. I've been so careless lately, and now that I've felt her without a condom, there's no going back.
I know. I keep meaning to make a doctor's appointment, but it's hard to get an appointment with student insurance.
Sure, sure.
Maybe later this week I can get in. I need to do it soon. You're careless lately, she says.
Careless? Me? I scoff, trying not to panic. You're the one that keeps catching me off guard, and I can't think straight.
Oh, please,
she giggles, and leans her head back against the headrest. Hey, if you want to ruin your life by having a child, go for it. But you sure as hell aren't taking me down with you. I squeeze her thigh, and she frowns.
What? Nothing,
she lies, faking a smile. Tell me now.
Children are something we shouldn't discuss, remember?
I agree. So let's cut out the middleman and get your ass on birth control so we don't have to ever talk or worry about children again.
I'll find a clinic to go to today so that your future isn't in jeopardy, she flatly remarks.
I've made her upset, but there really isn't a nice way for me to tell her that she needs to get on birth control if she's going to be fucking me multiple times a day whenever we're near each other. After making a few phone calls, she announces,
I have an appointment Monday.
Good. I run my hand over my hair before placing it back onto her thigh. I turn on the radio and follow the directions on my phone to the nearest mall. By the time we've walked around the mall once, I'm bored out of my mind with Seattle. The only thing keeping me entertained is Tessa. Even when she's quiet, I can read her thoughts just by watching her expressions. I watch her watch people as they rush through the mall. She frowns when an angry mother swats her child's ass in the middle of a store, and I guide her out before the scene, and her reaction to it, get out of hand. We have lunch at a quiet pizza parlor, and Tessa fills the entire meal with talk about a new book series she's been thinking about reading. I know how judgmental she can be about modern novels, so this surprises and intrigues me.
I'll have to download them when I get my e-reader back from you, she says, swiping a napkin across her mouth. I can't wait to have my bracelet back, too, and the letter.
I force myself not to panic and shove almost an entire piece of pizza into my mouth, so I'm unable to respond. I can't tell her I destroyed it, so I'm really grateful when she moves to another subject. The day ends with Tessa falling asleep in the car. She's made a habit of that lately, and for some reason, I love it. I take the long way back to the house, just like I did the last time. Tessa's alarm didn't wake me, and neither did she. I'm less than pleased that I didn't get to see her before she left this morning, especially since she'll be gone all day. When I glance at the clock on the wall, it shows almost noon. At least she'll be taking lunch soon. I dress quickly and leave the house for the new Vance Publishing branch office. It's strange to think that I could be working there with her, the two of us driving to work together each morning, making the drive back home together. We could actually live together again. Space, Harden. She wants space. I laugh at the idea. We aren't giving each other any space, really. Only 3 days a week, tops. What we're doing is just making seeing each other more of a pain in the ass, with the excessive driving and distance. When I get inside the building, I find that the Seattle office is fucking outrageously lavish. It's much bigger than the shit office I worked at. I don't miss working in a stuffy cubicle, that's for damned sure. But this place is nice. Vance wouldn't allow me to work from home. It was Brent, my boss at Bolt House, that recommended I do my work for him from my living room in order to keep the peace. It works out perfectly for me, even more so now that Tess is in Seattle. So joke is on those overly sensitive fucks in the office. I'm surprised when I don't get lost in this maze of a fucking building. When I reach the reception area, Kimberly beams at me from behind her desk.
Hello, how may I help you?
She says with emphasis, showing me her ability to remain professional. Where's Tessa?
In her office,
she says, dropping the facade. And that is... I lean against the wall and wait for her to show me to Tessa.
Down the hall. Her name is on the plate outside.
She glances back to her computer screen, dismissing me. Rude. What exactly does Vance pay her to do? Whatever it is, it must be worth it for him to be able to fuck her on a constant and keep him nearby during the day. I shake my head, ridding it of the images of the two of them. Thanks for your help, I gripe, and head down the long, narrow hallway. When I reach Tessa's office, I open the door without knocking. The room is empty. I reach into my pocket and grab my phone to call her. Seconds later, I hear a rattling noise and see her phone vibrating on her desk. Where the hell is she? I go down the hallway in search of her. I know Zed is in town, and that has me seeing red. I swear to fucking...
Harden Scott?
A woman's voice asks from behind me as I turn and enter what looks like a small break room. I turn around to find a familiar face. Hey? I can't remember where I've seen her before, but I know that I have. Realization hits me when she's joined by another woman. You've got to be fucking kidding me. The universe is playing a sick fucking joke on me, and it's pissing me the fuck off. Tabitha grins at me.
Well, well, well.
Tessa's tales of woe about two bitchy office bullies make so much more sense now. Since clearly neither of us is going to stand on ceremony, I just say, "You're the one giving Tessa shit, aren't you?" If I had any idea that Tabitha had transferred to the Seattle office, I'd have known instantly that she was the bitch in question. She was known for that back when I worked for Vance, and I'm sure she hasn't changed.
What? Me?
She flips her hair over her shoulder and smiles. She looks different. Unnatural, really. The little minion who's following in her wake has the same orange shade to her skin. They should stop bathing in food colouring, perhaps. Cut the shit. Don't mess with her. She's trying to adjust to a new city, and you two aren't going to ruin it for her by being assholes to her for no reason.
I haven't done anything. I was joking anyway.
Flashes of her sucking my dick in a bathroom stall flash through my mind, and I swallow the uneasy feeling that comes with the unwelcome memory. Don't do it any more, I warn her. I'm not fucking around. Don't even speak to her.
Jesus, You're still as cheery as ever, I see. I won't mess with her anymore. I wouldn't want you telling Mr. Vance on me and getting me fired like you did, Sim.
That wasn't my fault.
Yes, it was, she whispers dramatically. As soon as her man found out what you two were doing, what you did, she was mysteriously let go the very same week.
Tabitha was easy. So damn easy. And so was Samantha. The moment that I found out who Samantha's boyfriend was, she began to appeal to me. But once I got between her legs, I wanted nothing to do with her. That little game of mine caused me a lot of shit and drama that I'd rather not be reminded of, and I sure as hell don't want Tessa mixed up in this catty shit.
You don't know half of what really happened, so keep your mouth shut. Leave Tessa alone, and your job will stay yours.
Truthfully, I may have had a little something to do with Vance letting Samantha go, but her working there was causing me too many problems. She was only a freshman in college, working part-time as a copy girl.
Speak of the spoiled little devil,
the short minion remarks, and nods her head toward the door of the small break room. Tessa is smiling and laughing as she enters, and right behind her, dressed in one of his little suits and ties, is fucking Trevor, smiling and laughing along with her. The little twat spots me first and touches Tessa's arm to draw her attention to me. It takes every ounce of my self-control not to snap him in two. When she sees me from across the room, her face lights up, her smile widens, and she rushes over. Only when she reaches me does she notice Tabitha standing next to me.
Hey,
she says, unsure now, nervous. Bye, Tabitha. I wave the snooty woman off. She whispers something to her friend, and the two of them leave the room.
Bye, Trevor,
I say quietly enough that only Tessa hears.
Stop it!
She swats my arm in the pestering way that she always does.
Hello, Harden,
Trevor greets me, ever so politely. His arm twitches at his side, like he's trying to decide whether or not to offer his hand for a shake. I hope for his sake that he doesn't. I won't accept it. Hi, I say curtly.
What are you doing here?
Tessa asks. She looks out into the hallway for the two women that just left. I know what she's really asking.
How do you know them, and what did they say?
Tabitha won't be a problem anymore. She gapes, her eyes wide.
What did you do?
I shrug.
Nothing.
I just told her what you should have. To fuck off. Tessa smiles at fucking Trevor, and he sits down at one of the tables, trying not to look at the two of us. I find his discomfort pretty damn amusing.
Did you have lunch already?
I ask. She shakes her head.
Let's get you something to eat, then.
I give the eavesdropper a fuck you glare and lead Tessa out of the room and down the hallway.
The place next door has really good tacos, she says.
It turns out she's wrong. The tacos are shit, but she devours her plate and most of mine. Afterward, she flushes and blames her appetite on her hormones. When she threatens to shove a tampon down my throat if I make one more joke about her period, I just laugh.
I still want to go back tomorrow to see everyone and get my stuff, she says,
washing down the spicy salsa she just finished with some water. Don't you think going to England next weekend is enough travelling? I say, trying to derail her plans.
No, I want to see Landon. I miss him so much.
An unwarranted pang of jealousy hits me, but I brush it off. He is her only friend, save annoying ass Kimberly.
He'll still be there when we get back from England.
Harden, please.
She looks up at me, not asking for permission like she sometimes does. This time she's asking for my cooperation, and I can tell by the gleam in her eye that she's going back to see Landon whether I want her to or not.
Fine. Fuck,
I groan. This can't possibly go well. I look across the table at her, and she's smiling proudly, I don't know if she's proud of herself for winning this argument, or proud of me for giving in. But she looks so beautiful, so relaxed.
I like that you came here today.
She takes my hand as we walk down the busy street. Why are there so many people in Seattle? You do? I figured as much, but I had a little anxiety that she might be angry at me for showing up unannounced. Not that I would have given a shit, but still.
Yes.
She blinks up at me, stopping in the middle of a swarm of rushing bodies.
I almost...
She trails off without finishing. You almost what? I stop her attempt at walking farther and pull her to the wall beside a jewelry store. The sun reflects off the enormous diamond rings on display in the window, and I lead her a few feet down the brick wall to get away from the glare.
It's silly.
She pulls her bottom lip between her teeth and stares at the cement.
But I feel like I can breathe for the first time in months.
Is that a good thing, or... I start to ask, tilting her chin so she has no choice but to look at my face.
Yes, it's a good thing. I feel like for once everything is working out. I know it hasn't been for long, but this is the most functional we have ever been. We've only had a handful of arguments, and we communicated our way through them. I'm proud of us.
Her comment amuses me, because we still argue and banter constantly. It's not only a handful of arguments, but she's right. We've been talking our way through things. I love that we argue, and I think she does too. We're totally different people. We couldn't be more different, really. And getting along with her all the time would be boring as hell. I couldn't live without her constant need to correct me or her nagging about my mess-making. She's annoying as hell, but I wouldn't change a fucking thing about her. Except her need to be in Seattle. Functional is highly overrated, baby. To prove my point, I lift her by the thighs, wrapping her legs around my waist, and kiss her against the wall, right in the middle of one of the busiest streets in Seattle.
Chapter 120. Tessa.
How much longer?
Harden complains from the passenger seat. Less than 5 minutes. We just passed Connor's. I know he's well aware of how short the distance is from here to the apartment. It's just that he can't keep himself from complaining. Harden drove most of the way until I finally persuaded him to let me finish the trip. His eyes were nearly closing, and I knew he needed a break. My point was proven when he stretched his arm across the center console, holding me as best he could while I was driving, and fell asleep almost instantly. "Landon is still there, right? You talked to him?" I ask. I'm beyond excited to see my best friend. It's been far too long, and I miss his kind words of wisdom and never-faltering smile.
"Yes, for the 10th time,"
Harden replies, clearly annoyed. He's been anxious the entire drive, even though he won't admit it. He shrugs it off like he's annoyed because of the distance, but I get the feeling there's something else behind his frustration. I'm not entirely sure that I want to discover what it is. When I pull into the parking lot of the apartment building that I used to call home, my stomach turns, and my nervousness begins to creep to the surface.
It'll be fine.
Harden's reassuring words surprise me as we enter the front door. The small elevator feels so alien as it rises up the building. It feels as if so much more than only 3 weeks have passed. Harden keeps his hand over mine until we reach the door, where he slides the key into the lock and pushes it open. Landon jumps to his feet from the couch and strides across the room with the brightest smile I've ever seen him wear in the 7 months since we became friends. His arms wrap around my back and he hugs me, welcoming me, and making me aware of just how much I've missed him. Before I know it, I'm sobbing and heaving deep breaths into my friend's chest. I'm not sure why I'm crying so much. I've just missed Landon terribly, and his warm reaction to my return made me emotional.
"Can our old man get a turn?"
I hear my father say from somewhere a little ways off. Landon starts to back away, but Harden says,
"In a moment,"
and nods toward Landon, assessing my mental state. I launch myself at Landon again, and his familiar arms wrap around my back again. I missed you so much, I tell him. His shoulders visibly relax, and he unwraps his arms from my body. When I go to hug my father, Landon stays nearby, his smile still bright and loving as ever. Looking at my father, I realize that he must have known that I'd be coming to visit. He looks like he's wearing Landon's clothes, and they're tight on his body. I notice that his face is clean-shaven. "Look at you!" I exclaim with a smile. "No beard!" He whoops a loud laugh and hugs me tighter.
"Yeah, no more beard for me," he says. "How was the drive?"
Landon asks, shoving his hands into the pockets of his navy-colored slacks.
"Shit,"
Harden says, at the exact moment I say, "Good." Landon and my father both laugh. Harden looks annoyed, and I'm just happy to be home. With my best friend and the closest relative that I'm in contact with, which only reminds me that I have to call my mother, which I keep putting off.
"I'm going to put your bag in the bedroom,"
Harden announces, leaving the three of us to continue our welcoming. I watch as he disappears into the room we once shared. His shoulders are set low, and I want to follow after him, but I don't.
"I've missed you too much, Tessie. How's Seattle treating you?"
my father asks. It's odd to look at him now, wearing one of Landon's colored shirts and dress slacks, with no hair on his face. He looks like a completely different man. The bags under his eyes have gotten puffier, though, and I notice the way his hands are slightly shaking at his sides. "I'm good. I'm still getting used to it," I tell him. He smiles.
"That's good to hear."
Landon steps closer to me as my father takes a seat on the edge of the couch. He turns his back away from my father as if he wants to keep our conversation private.
"It feels like you've been gone for months,"
he says, holding my gaze as he speaks. He looks tired, too. Maybe from staying at the apartment with my father? I don't know, but I want to find out. It does. I feel like time is strange in Seattle. How is everything? I feel like we barely talked. It's true. I haven't called Landon as often as I should have, and he must have been really busy dealing with his last semester at Washington Central. If less than 3 weeks is this tough, how will I be able to bear him moving all the way to New York?
"I knew you'd be busy. Everything's okay," he says.
His eyes dart to the wall, and I sigh. Why do I feel like I'm missing something obvious? "Are you sure?" I glance back and forth between my best friend and my father, taking in Landon's drained expression.
"Yeah, we'll talk about it later,"
he says, waving my concern off.
"Now tell me about Seattle."
The dim light that was in his eyes intensifies into a bright burn of happiness, the happiness that I have missed so much. "It's okay." I trail off and his forehead creases in a frown. "Really, it's okay. Much better now that Harden is visiting more."
"So much for space, huh?"
he playfully teases, nudging my shoulder with the palm of his hand.
"You two have the strangest definition of breaking up."
I roll my eyes, agreeing, but I say, "It's been really nice having him there. I'm still as confused as ever, but Seattle feels more like the Seattle of my dreams when Harden is there with me."
"I'm happy to hear it."
Landon smiles, his gaze shifting as Harden walks up and stands next to me. Looking around, I say to the three of them, "This place is in much better condition than I thought it would be."
"We've been cleaning it while Harden was in Seattle," my father says.
And I laugh, reminded of Harden's grumpy complaint that the two of them were messing with his things. I look back at the well-organized foyer, remembering the very first time I stepped through the door with Harden. I fell in love instantly with the old-fashioned charm of the place. The exposed brick wall was so enchanting, and I was beyond impressed by the expansive bookshelving covering the far wall. The concrete flooring added to the personality of the apartment, unique and beautiful. I couldn't believe that Harden had chosen the most perfect space, suiting both of us in a way I didn't think was possible. It wasn't extravagant, not in the slightest, but it was so beautiful and thoughtfully laid out. I remember how nervous he was that I wouldn't like it. I was nervous too, though. I thought he was insane for wanting me to live with him so soon into our back-and-forth relationship, and I now know that my apprehensiveness was very well justified. Harden had used this apartment as a trap. He thought that I'd be forced to stay with him after I found out about the wager he'd made with his group of friends. In a way, it worked, and I don't particularly love that part of our past, but I wouldn't change it now. Despite the memories of our happy first days here, for some reason, I still can't shake the unsettling rustling that I feel in my stomach. I feel like a stranger here now. The once charming brick wall has been stained by bloody knuckles too many times.